It's Saturday, October 31st. It's time for the Cabrillo Insider on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it.
Good evening and welcome to the Cabrillo Insider. We are here today with several guests in the studio, and I'm Dan Wu here with Chapman.
How's it going?
And today we're going to be analyzing the state of the media. Is it bigger, faster, better, stronger than ever, as many inside it think? Is it full of misinformation and propaganda taken over by bias? Or worst of all, both? A Pew Research poll from September of this year may indicate the latter. Only 29% of people said that the news gets the facts right in general. What do you think about that, Chapman?
Well, I have no idea where it's going at all. I know I watch a lot of TV and I read a lot of newspapers. One of them happens to be going out of style. The other one is plenty in style. So I don't know. It's definitely confusing. A lot of people like to say that radio's dead, but Dan, you and I are on the radio.
I know, and they're so letting us talk.
So how can it be dead?
It must not be that restricted. But in the studio today, we have several guests here. We have Uncle Dennis from Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Good evening.
Yeah, we have Craig Judson from Community Television of Santa Cruz.
And good evening.
And we have an ex-San Jose Mercury writer, Brad Cava, here.
Hi.
Who's also our professor at Cabrillo for the journalism
and likes
department.
To forcibly grab the mic.
Yes. That feedback is all him. I mean, basically what they're saying is 29% of people said that the news gets the facts right in general. 18% said that all sides are treated fairly in debates. And I see different views, but on individual programs, it seems like one side gets more fair treatment than the other. So maybe if you watched MSNBC and Fox at the same time, which we don't recommend, it may cause serious health problems. Basically, you would get an equal story where both sides were treated unfairly and insulted. And basically, that's pretty much where a lot of people seem to see the media right now. Anyone have any thoughts on that or saying I'm wrong? Or?
I actually have a question for you, Uncle Dennis. I gave a presentation on LPFM the other day in my mass communications class. And I was reading through the FCC guidelines of kind of their mission statement, I guess, the FCC's mission statement for LPFMs. And I found it funny that the FCC would concede or admit, and I'll read this. This is from their latest report on LPFMs or their latest guidelines on LPFMs. The for-profit sale of LPFM authorizations to any buyer is fundamentally inconsistent with the Commission's desire to promote local, community-based use and ownership of LPFM stations. And considering that LPFM stations are designed to be for educational purposes, how can the government get away with saying, essentially, that when a radio station goes for profit, that community, local news, and it being educational go out the window?
Well, it all has to do with corporate sponsorship of media. You can't really say anything you want to say on the air. It doesn't have to do with the bad words or anything like that. It has to do with ideas that corporate America doesn't want out there and doesn't want you to hear about. And I believe that the FCC is correct in their statement that you can't really have a corporate sponsorship and have free speech at the same time. It just doesn't exist. That's one of the reasons that Free Radio is on the air, and we are, you know, free of not only commercials, but we don't take sponsorships and we don't take underwriting.
Yeah, I just couldn't get over that, reading that line, because it's just an admission basically an admission by the government that for-profit radio stations nowadays don't take the local community into heart. And I just was kind of incensed that they could get away with such a faulty admission and not be criticized for it, or at least raise new questions, I guess.
One of the most telling things that's happened in the last probably 15 years is basically the corporate takeover of large numbers of radio stations by a single owner. For instance, Clear Channel, I believe, has, 1,500 stations at this point? They're positively huge. And because their corporate model for broadcasting is based on the fact that they consolidate all their news, all their programming, and everything else in one central area, there's no way they can serve a local community with any kind of degree of depth at all. And one of the most telling things was actually occurred during Katrina, where local public officials tried to contact local radio stations to warn people about events that were coming up, like a hurricane, and they called radio stations. There was no one there. There was no one who could go on the air at a moment's notice and let people know that they needed to evacuate here or there.
Because it's just a bunch of nationally syndicated programs and no actual people from the community.
Yeah, robo stations, I call them.
Yeah, robo stations. No, yeah, we're not a robo station, but we're split, I guess. We're half robotic. We're like the new age station. We're half robo, half people like Dan and I, Cabrillo College.
Well, it's not a robot.
It's not that free radio doesn't utilize technology to program our station, but.
Yeah, I mean,
not like the other ones, for sure.
Even in Santa Cruz, where we have, you know, free radio and community television and all these things, I mean, Clear Channel owns almost 40% of the TV stations that are broadcast in this area, according to the Center for Public Integrity. And that's a huge number for one company to be owning. I think it's like 38% out of 26 channels, 10 channels it owned by them. It's pretty ridiculous. Even in an area, I mean, the FCC is not too much of a fan of your guys' station, but you guys do have some government officials that are on your side on this, right?
Well, yes, free radio has gotten, on two different occasions, commendations from the city of Santa Cruz for our efforts at community broadcasting and bringing the voices in Santa Cruz who can't be heard on corporate radio stations, including this one. Providing them with a forum for which they can get on the air. We literally can take someone off the street, train them to be on the air in a couple of hours, and put them on the air. We have very few restrictions on what they can say. Basically, they can't do commercial messages, and they can't broadcast what we call hate speech, which is speech that oppresses other people, sexism, racism.
So
Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh would.
You can't say Rush Limbaugh. You can't say Rush Limbaugh on free radio. It's true. You can't say the words Rush Limbaugh on free radio. It counts as hate speech. We're KSCO Santa Cruz down here, the Cabrillo Insider. We're at 479-1080, 479-1080. If you guys have views on the media that you want to get on the air, tell us if you think it's just all propaganda, or if, you know, everyone's just doing this to get ratings and debating it on their own channels.
Or if we're actually getting news, if we actually think that we're getting what we asked for, objective news, which I don't think we're getting. We have to look for it, but I kind of want it force-fed to me.
They did a great piece. As we were in class putting our paper together, I watched it the next day on The Daily Show, and they did a whole piece on Fox versus Obama, which is really cool because I just wanted to go home and stop thinking about that after working on the article I wrote on it. But basically, the Fox released a report saying that these hours are opinion and these hours are news, and people need to stop ragging on them for being all opinion-based. And everyone they named about opinion, Jon Stewart pointed out, is who you think of when you think of Fox News. All the news people, no one knows who they are. The people that they named as newscasters and journalists. And also Jon Stewart pointed out that they report things as news that were said on the opinion show and only on the opinion show, like right before them, basically. So, we have Trezza in Santa Cruz who has a call for us, wants to speak her views. Trezza, how's it going?
It's good, yeah. Hi, this is Teresa Caraggio. I've had a show on Free Radio Santa Cruz the last year called Third Paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I have is really for all of the panelists. Over the last few months, I've been representing a group of donors, listeners, supporters, retired activists, ex-programmers, including some of the Free Radio founders, who want to be more proactive in bringing independent news to Santa Cruz. And to illustrate the difference, you know, how I describe the difference between independent news and, say, NPR, a few moments ago, I was listening to, there was something about swine flu on KSEO, and also on KUSP, they were promoting something that said, oh, we're going to go to ground zero of swine flu and talk about it. And I thought, well, that's great. They're going to talk about the Smithfield factory farms in Mexico where swine flu started and why it's called NAFTA flu and what the pharmaceutical industry has to gain by a pandemic scare.
So you're saying they didn't really get to the real story? They kind of buried the lead on that one?
You got it. They were talking, they were going to go to some pediatric office. And so my feeling is that you can talk about local news, but you need to have a global context. If you're only worried about how does this affect me and you're not seeing the big picture and getting an accurate sense of the things that the rest of the world knows about what are the actual causes.
So what are you asking of the panelists? Like, what are you referring to that you would like them to respond to?
Right. What I'm asking is there an existing venue where this group could get behind it and be able to bring more independent news consistently to the Santa Cruz audience, or does that need to be invented? Should we, for instance, start a Cabrillo radio station?
I personally like the fact that we get a bigger span of broadcast from here than, say, KZSC, which I also listen to on occasion out of UCSC. But any of the panelists want to take that on? Anybody have a thought on that?
Well, yeah, sure. It's Brad. You bring up the big question. How do you pay for it? It all comes down to economy. You guys are free Radio Santa Cruz. I assume that means you're not getting big salaries on this deal. And that's the trouble. How do you pay for journalists to go around the world and cover a story broadly? And I don't know. I mean, it's getting grimmer and grimmer as we go on, and the economic model of selling ads is folding up. And the New York Times and the LA Times and places that are known for having international bureaus are having to shut them down because they can't afford to do it. I don't know what the future holds for that.
If I can respond to that, Brad, right now I feel that there's a network of independent journalists who are making their information available for free. And I know Dennis will back me up on this, that if you look at the schedule at Free Radio Santa Cruz, there are shows from all around the country and all around the world of people who are taking what researchers are doing and really putting, you know, the best of what's out there and being done by volunteers or by people who are in very low-paid nonprofits. But there's not a venue for it. There's not a venue to be able to take that great information that's being produced and put it on the air.
Yeah. Since I was mentioned, this is Dennis with Free Radio. Free Radio does carry quite a number of independently produced shows off of the internet. Among those, and the show that we premiered in Santa Cruz was Democracy Now. We started playing Democracy Now many, many years ago. I don't even know how long it's been, but we now play it twice a day at 8 o'clock in the morning and at noon. And for those Free Radio listeners who are listening to KSCO, it's probably a rare thing, but we've actually found a couple of people to start doing our morning programming, so we're going to be becoming more consistent with our morning programming. We also carry lots of other shows by other independent producers. Probably the one that interests you most is the Shortwave Report, which is a digest of news produced by shortwave broadcasters from around the world. We also have other shows like Counterspin, which actually examines the news to see whether you're getting the news that you think you're getting, and many, many other programs on Free Radio. Our whole schedule isn't independent news from around the world, because we also have local programs that we produce at Free Radio Santa Cruz that deal with local issues. So,
just to touch base, it's Craig from Community TV. For people that do follow the thread of Democracy Now!, Community Television is carrying the television presentation of that from midnight to 10 a.m. every day. And then there are some morning blocks of Democracy Now! As well.
Cool. And we'll be back with more of the Cabrillo Insider in just a moment. It's 479-1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
We've got a transmitter, and we're not afraid to use it.
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
If it's happening in Santa Cruz, it's happening in Santa Cruz Weekly.
News, music, movies, events, and food. Get in the know and stay in the know.
Pick up this week's edition of Santa Cruz Weekly
and read all about it.
This is Tracy Huckel, editor of Santa Cruz Weekly, the alternative newspaper formerly known as Metro Santa Cruz. Along with our new name and a bold new look, we've introduced some tasty new features. An op-ed piece, illustrations by Nutzel, smart aleck poetry, and a features section dedicated to local color. Every week, our writers scour the cultural scene to bring readers the best in arts and entertainment in Santa Cruz County. And last but certainly not least, a week without free will astrologer Rob Bresney is a week without sunshine. Don't live your life in the dark. Pick it up and see what's new. Santa Cruz Weekly.
It is happening in Santa Cruz, and you can read all about it.
Pick up this week's edition of Santa Cruz Weekly.
A proud member of the Think Local First business community.
If it's happening in Santa Cruz, it's happening in Santa Cruz Weekly.
Read all about it.
Investing in your teeth will always pay you dividends, as the health of your teeth directly affects the health of your body and the state of your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody. Many people do not realize that the same bacteria that cause gum disease and other dental infections get carried in the bloodstream into your heart, lungs, and your entire body. Numerous studies show a direct link between gum disease and life-threatening problems like heart disease and diabetes. The longer dental problems accumulate, the more damage your overall health will suffer. So don't delay. Be proactive. Whether it's been 1 year or 10, let's get together and take care of your dental problems today so you can protect your health for tomorrow.
Dr. Guy Peabody provides a comprehensive approach to treating dental problems in the most comfortable ways possible, including sedation, laser therapy, and digital imaging. It's time. Take care of your teeth. Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 831-457-0343 or click on drpeabody.com. Wake up to a beautiful smile.
KSCO.
Welcome back to the Cabrillo College Insider. I'm Andrew Chapman, along with my co-host Dan Wu, and we have some great guests today as we have our State of the Media discussion. And I'd like to move on to Craig Jetson. Craig is the Interim Director of Community Television Santa Cruz. And Craig, I'd like to ask you kind of what your mission statement is, and how is Community Television Santa Cruz doing in these times, I guess?
Well, I guess I should have printed my mission statement. And
I have it printed right here.
So, oh, you
do? But it's all radio fodder.
Other than the kind of what you'd expect, you know, our mission is to promote free speech, promote community involvement, and foster a dialogue between different parties in the community. There's warm, fuzzy edges, but that's the core of it right there. And how are we doing right now at Community Television? Well, we're primarily funded by PEG, that's Public Educational and Government, excuse me, set-aside fee that comes out of every Comcast cable subscriber household and Charter cable subscriber household. So we're a child of cable television.
They take care of you pretty sufficiently.
I don't think the word "take care of" is the appropriate description. The franchise struck up in the late 80s and then adjudicated in the early 90s by a consent judgment that it was a 20-year franchise. And if it was up to the cable company, they wouldn't have public access television at all. It's not that they're interested in us; it's that they're forced to. It's a contract. You know, they wish to sell your household cable. The county says, well, if you want the public right of way, you have to fund public access television. And so Community Television of Santa Cruz County started. We actually incorporated in 1994. It's our 15th anniversary this year, and I wouldn't say the future's rosy. The cable franchise ended in July of this year, 2009, and Community Television, to a degree, is on the sidelines watching what happens and seeing how the county and the city and Comcast are able to come to some contractual consentment about what they're going to do next. There was a State of California Digital Infrastructure and Video Competition Act passed in 2006, and that allowed cable companies to franchise statewide. And so I believe our
our state representative was Farr or Laird, excuse me.
Farr.
Excuse me. So Farr got a rider or an amendment, whatever, installed in that bill, which carved out Santa Cruz County because the cable franchise was subject of a consent judgment. And so our funding it may be safe until July of 2014, until a new franchise or an extended franchise or whatever the animal emerges from the negotiations comes out of the Comcast and county negotiations, then our funding will be, you know, more stable. So,
you know, it's kind of along what I was talking to Dennis about. It's funny because it seems like the government's made that concession with cable or community television as well, is that the minute that you are a for-profit TV station, something about community, local, goes out the window. And it's like I see the government just kind of acknowledging this in kind of ruling after ruling, but yet no one really seems to care. I mean, like, no one kind of cares that like, you know, sometimes local news and, you know, something that might be kind of – I mean, I've watched community television, and it's not exactly flashy lights and kids jumping on dirt bikes. It takes a little bit of an attention span to actually watch. So – it's frustrating that something that is for educational purposes like that is just constantly kind of pushed to the side, to the back burner, you know?
I think every American, if you gave them the choice ahead of time, would say, oh, I want that local news. I want that local sports. I want that local involvement in what's happening. But they're not making that decision every single time they go to the check stand in Safeway or whatever. You know, it's way after the fact. From the side, did they realize, oh, well, I guess when our state agreed to do XYZ, we lost this. And once you find out 4 years later, you know, it isn't coming back.
Yeah, it could be gone. Yeah. And that's frustrating. That's very frustrating.
But we're very fixed on the next dollar we're going to earn because that's what we're told when we come out of the womb, you know.
And we have a caller here that's been on hold for a while, Richard from Watsonville. How you doing, Richard?
Well, thank you for taking my call. The gentleman that's speaking there right now about community TV, first of all, I'd like to let him know that you cannot have access to community TV unless you do buy the cable. And, you know, you don't get it for free. When the satellites decide to take over all the cable TVs, I imagine community TV is even going to get less money in the future. I mean... if you guys are waiting around for something to happen and more money to come, it ain't coming that way, man. I mean, community TV does not have local news, does not have local sports, does not have local weather or traffic. As a matter of fact, they play pretty much just replays. Amy Goodman, you consider that news? Free speech TV, free speech radio, that's not news. Matter of fact, it's not even sold.
Excuse me?
It's not sold, is it? You guys can't even get anybody to sponsor that damn thing.
Well,
even if you wanted to,
it's kind of against the mission statement. You know, I mean, it's not exactly what they're going for.
Yeah, I would sponsor Amy Goodman if I had any money, sir.
Yeah, I believe you would. But the problem is, there's very limited exposure for Amy Goodman. Amy Goodman's not on a big network. And even when Amy Goodman came to Santa Cruz and gave a speech at the university, she wouldn't even sign any autographs. I mean, you know, they do absolutely nothing to promote anything and sit back with their hands out, pretty much like free speech radio. There's another loser.
All right, I'll let Craig maybe respond to this one.
Well, you know, I mean, wait a minute. I want to address Brad Cava because he was in print media. And print is going downhill very fast, man. I mean, very fast.
Man, negative. Somebody's had too many cups of coffee.
Our registered Pajaronian in Watsonville here is cut down from 6 days to 3 days a week now.
You're right. Why is that happening? Are people getting dumber? They don't read anymore?
It's not because of lack of sponsors, Brad. It's because of people wanting to sponsor somebody else.
I don't know.
It's because of lack of circulation. Well, that one's because of lack of circulation. I mean, it used to be that the revenues from circulation would pay for the print, and then all else would pay for the costs.
Wait a minute, man. Do you think people are just kind of tired of killing trees and cutting down trees and making paper out of trees?
No, no. I think people are lazy, and people don't realize how much work it takes to provide people with the information that they need to be informed about the community that they live in. I don't think a lot of people are willing to put that work in.
And these people here
in this room are willing to put that work in. It's just very difficult.
And especially if you don't have
a lot of donors, then it's exponentially more difficult.
But is anybody willing to buy it?
They're not for sale.
But if you guys are willing to put all this work out there and all this effort
that's the beautiful part of it, is it's not for sale.
Okay,
no one can own it, no one can trade it.
If you guys are willing to do it for free, then why do you need sponsors?
Well, they're not, we need sponsors
well,
because
we need
of the way
sponsors.
We need sponsors because of the way that the communications laws are set up in this country where people can buy and sell airspace.
That is not true at all.
What? How is that not true?
The laws of this country have nothing to do with sales.
Okay, I beg to disagree. I'm going to give Dennis this one.
Yeah, I would like to have somebody tell me about sales and media.
Dennis is about to right now.
If you want to own a privately owned radio station in the United States, you have to fork out a minimum of about $1 million. That's not something that every individual or every community even can do.
I don't know where you get this $1 million for a privately owned radio station. I can go up to the radio flea market up there at the college in the what is that college in Cupertino?
Wait, they sell radio stations at the flea market? I'm not talking about pirate radio stations.
I'm talking about radio stations that are legally licensed.
You said private.
Yes, privately owned licensed radio stations go for $1 million and up, even in really, 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 you know, out in the middle of Kansas markets.
That's right.
Richard, you got
that's
a million
because
bucks?
The FCC only gives away a certain amount of licenses. And the reason that free radio is on the air in Santa Cruz is because we took air space and
You guys didn't pay a damn thing for it. You took it.
Because they don't have $1 million, just like you're going
to. It's still a pirate radio station. Okay, yeah. They have the right to go out and sell whatever in the hell they want to sell.
We don't sell anything.
But that's not what they're in it for.
Right. But I'm saying you could.
Yeah.
You could. You don't have to get on here.
That's not in our mission.
But that's completely contradictory. And you know what, Richard? The government will actually agree with you that the minute you sell stuff that...
You become commercial.
Yeah, and actually, you being for educational purposes and trying to inform your community is not what happens, basically.
When information is bought and sold for money,
basically, there's no way that it can be unbiased. I mean, no one can be unbiased, but when you get money involved in large numbers, it totally just skews that way out of comparison. And also,
all right, well, here's the question then.
What do you think about this, Richard?
Yeah.
This poll that found that 29% of people trust the government or trust the press to get the facts right.
I think that's wrong.
Okay.
Wouldn't
that make people think that the press is less accurate because it was a press organization taking the poll, so therefore it make the numbers
accurate.
Go lower and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy?
If you watch community TV, you'll see how less accurate they are. They'll actually take their little cameras out into the street.
Okay, that was kind of a joke. I was having a little fun there.
Hold on, Richard.
What do you think about the fact that in the favorable and unfavorable ratings by station, that newspapers have like a 50% average of people who say they don't know anything about it and can't rate it? The New York Times, 55% of people polled in this poll could not give an opinion on the New York Times because they didn't basically ever read it.
That should tell you something alone, shouldn't it?
It should tell you something alone because 80% of people had an opinion on CNN, Fox, and MSNBC. So what's going on right there?
What's going on? When something big happens, I'll tell you what's going on TV.
We want to hear it.
Yeah. You go and you find MSNBC, CNN, and Fox and see who gets to the story first. Okay?
Which story?
Whichever story it may be, whether it's a speech by Obama, I'm telling you, you can tell who's who just by going to see where they're at first. And then when you get to TV, let me tell you something. You get to see what the camera shows you.
Well,
you don't get to see the whole picture.
Many
just
of those
like, just
stories.
Just like print, you only get to read what the writer writes.
many of the stories covered on Fox and MSNBC, one organization shows up to one of them and the other one shows up to the other story because it fits their point of view that they want to market.
That's not true. It's often true.
They didn't show up. The Gay Pride March in Washington, D.C. was not. Thank you for your call, Richard.
I wanted to say something, and obviously it's something that Richard doesn't understand, and that's that when you are a not-for-profit media organization, your job is incredibly difficult, exponentially more difficult than if you were a for-profit station, because you could make money, have time, hire people to make a program, hire people to run the thing. But instead, all these people are asked to work at a diminished pay.
For their own enjoyment.
Their own enjoyment in order, because they feel like they provide something important. And I don't think that Richard understands how much work that is.
I don't think that he's probably ever run a radio show. You're probably right.
And just because you commercials and run a for-profit radio station is no guarantee that you're going to make it in this market either.
Either, right. So, exactly.
Free radio, we're funded by – we have two funding sources for free radio. One is the programmers. Every programmer at free radio either donates money to keep the station going or provides work exchange, and our listeners who send in money donations to us. So we don't have corporate sponsors, underwriters, or commercial messages. And so we're free of those kind of influences. We don't make decisions based on whether this sponsor is going to drop the show. If we say something about something that's happening in the community. So those are the pressures that come with commercial sponsorship. I mean, you certainly can't do a show about the way chickens are treated at factory farms in Tennessee when your sponsor is Tyson. It ain't going to happen. And that's been proven. There were actually a couple of reporters who lost their jobs for, you know, revealing what happened in factory farms.
Yeah, and that's our topic today. If anyone's just tuning in right now, we're talking about the state of the media, whether you think it's just a bunch of bias and propaganda, or if you think that it's just bigger and better and the internet and cable and you're just getting more information than ever and it's great, or if it's using that environment to fill it with misinformation because anyone can put out stuff right now. But what we're discussing mostly is the fact that not everyone can get their views heard in the mass media because it costs so much. We're here at 479-1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, and so if anyone has views on the media right now and if they want to tell some people in the media what they think about it, call in.
Hey, you know, Craig, I want to ask you a kind of a more lighthearted question. Do you have a favorite show on community television out there that you kind of want to point people towards? And for people who aren't in studio right now, Craig Jetson is in a Batman costume right now, and he is the only one in costume. But then again, it is Halloween. We've all been one-upped by Mr. Jetson here.
And if anyone else has a bone to pick with community television, he will be leaving to go to a raging Halloween party in a moment. So get your calls in quick, 479-1080.
You asked Andrew if I had a favorite show. My job over the last 9.5 years has primarily been as a technical director for the station, seeing that the equipment works when you turn it on, researching what to do next, ordering stuff, seeing that people are trained on how to use the equipment that we've got.
It's not underwater yoga? Are we sure about it?
Well, you know what? I started in television, and we won't go into the long, long thing, but I started in television probably before you were born, unfortunately, back like when Brad and Dennis were younger. I've enjoyed working on these kinds of television shows for many, many years. I direct Latinos al Día, which is in Spanish, presented by a news reporter from Channel 67, who comes up, organizes the stories, invites the guests. Occasionally we have enough manpower to go out and take B-roll footage to support the story with other visual elements. But I enjoy working on that story because I know that to some degree it helps the Latino population in South County and North County understand a little bit about what's happening in this area. And you know, the gentleman, I forgot his name already.
Richard?
Richard will all remember him. for a few
minutes. Remember him.
Anyway,
forever.
No, he was absolutely right. You know, community television doesn't do this. It doesn't do that. Doesn't. Well, guess what? You know, we are what we're asked to be, and we evolve and grow into what we hope to become and what we hope people need next from us. It's educational, government, and public access. Well, public access is just that. It's not the television station, which is a small nonprofit staff, rolling out the truck and sending out the news cameras. For heaven's sakes, if you don't understand what public access is, it's anyone who wants to come down, learn how to use the equipment. You have a concept. You want to make a local cooking show or shoot an arts program or make a little documentary about your neighborhood parade or whatever it might be. It's all those things coming together and filling the content. And so community television doesn't curate, manage, direct the content. There's, you know, the same kind of, like Dennis mentioned about free radio, there's no hate speech allowed. There's a certain level of awareness of those kind of things, but you know, we don't direct and curate the content. So, no, there's no news and there's no sports because all that takes a lot of money. I've worked on those kinds of things in the past. That's why I'm happy to be at community television because I enjoy what I do. So.
Yeah. And your first tenet in your mission statement of our values is promote free speech. And I don't know how you could do that without community access. So
and something you said made a lot of sense to me is that we are what we're asked to be. And that's a big point with the media is, are the media doing what people are asking them to do by sensationalizing it and having opinion? Or is the media driving the bus by making people think certain things? I mean, that's a big debate in this whole thing, too, is whether people have just asked for more sensationalized media. And so if anyone has views on that, like when we come back from break, 479-1080, and we're here with Brad Kava, Craig Junson, and Uncle Dennis from Free Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
We've got a transmitter, and we're not afraid to use it.
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
Back to the Cabrillo College Insider. I'm Andrew Chapman, along with my co-host Dan Wu. We are talking about the state of the media, as ambiguous as that can sound. 831-479-1080. I want to move over to Brad Kava. Found out something interesting about Brad Kava today. As a kid growing up, I was a huge fan of Kay Wilde, 94.9, The Doghouse, and all the prank calls, Elvis and JV, and whatever that guy's name was. But Brad, I didn't know you had a little beef with The Doghouse back in the day. What was that about?
Yeah, I documented in a story. Well, two things. One, there was a rape at one of their concerts that I reported. It happened in front of 70,000 or 17,000 people. And it was by the guy from, what was that band out of Florida? Everything was about sex.
I don't know. Oh, Two Live Crew?
Two Live Crew.
Really?
One of those guys assaulted this woman on stage. Nobody cared. I wrote about that. It was a front page story. But then also I wrote about how they were stealing their material from a guy in Chicago who was on hours earlier than them. And he sent me proof that documenting, basically, you hear this on my show at 7 in the morning, then you hear it on their show at 7 in the morning with the two-hour time difference. So I wrote about that. Well, they went nuts. And they took out an ad in the Mercury News that was one of these fold-ups. It said something like, listen, your morning Java.
No, you have there. It says, Fun Radio is back, bringing you a fresh cup of Java every morning. Yeah.
Well, they paid good money for that ad, like thousands of dollars. And then they went on the air and told people to fold it up into thirds, like the old Mad Magazine things. And when you did, it said basically F Brad Kava without, you know. So I was famous, man. That day. Now, the funny thing was that was the day my parents were visiting. And it was the second story on the TV news on every station that night. My first call was at 6 a.m. from a reporter from NBC who wanted to talk to me about the ad. And I'm like, what? It was hideous.
That was really awesome.
And the paper didn't want me to talk to anybody, but I realized I had to talk to some people and vent a little bit of it.
That's classic.
It was
so I guess
fun.
But it says that eventually you did go on their show and settle it with them,
yeah,
or talk with them.
Yeah, that was recently. Actually,
yeah,
recently
no, I just read
I've
that today.
With them.
Research, okay.
You know, things happen over time. They've grown up, and
I saw some clips of their show, and I saw one where they were in front of Circuit City doing this spin the wheel of fortune thing, and they were just bringing people up and just being basically blatant racist.
Too. Yeah, those guys are weird.
I was like, whoa, no wonder Brad had a...
Yeah, well, they got fired, too, for racism. They would do these phony phone calls to Chinese restaurants.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Those were offensive.
And I'd like to say that I really liked their show until I turned 13, which when I grew out of it. You know? So, anyways, Brad, I want to... You know, you used to be the music critic, along with Hard News. You did some of that for the San Jose Mercury News. And I want to kind of hear your opinion or perspective on the future of print, because I love print. I go to the paper the first thing every day. I know a lot of people do, and I never want that to go away. So what are your thoughts on it?
I don't know. Every day I think about it, and every day it's scary, especially with students studying journalism who have the best intentions of earning a living at it. And I think, how are they going to do that? Where's the business model that's going to save it?
Don't judge my intentions.
Well, I assume they're good. You're doing this. But no, they seem to be good. But I just wonder. I mean, I was in a generation where news people could make a salary that they could survive on, and now they're not paying that. And I don't know how you guys are going to live doing what you love, except in a community context. Papers like Good Times and Metro are doing okay. They're free, but they get ads, and I don't know that they pay their people a living wage, but they're paying their people. So
I mean, with print journalism, I mean, I've heard you say before that about 100 years ago, basically you had yellow journalism and each party had their press, and that you have mentioned that maybe around 40, 30 years ago, it was more unbiased, and now it's maybe getting back to that. Maybe I could pose that to both of you guys and get your views on whether you think that each group has their press or if there is an evening out on individual programs?
Let me just answer quick first, and then I'll turn over to James. I think the main newspapers in the country, the New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, go down the list for about 20. I think their goal is objectivity.
Well, that's certainly their goal, and some of them get closer than others. I'm unfortunately very pessimistic about the print media, and I'm also pessimistic about television, commercial television. I think that the internet, streaming video, internet news, and sites like YouTube are basically stealing away the audience for print newspaper and online television, because people can go get what they're interested in. They can search for, you know, maybe they're not searching for the greatest video, but they can certainly find video from around the world. And unfortunately, the computers have basically taken over the function of the newspaper. I know that I'm torn between getting the Scotts Valley Sentinel and going to Cruz IO and reading their front page.
I remember, we were talking to our general manager, Michael Olson, the other day. And he was saying that he had spoken to the Cabrillo Journalism Department and had recommended that in order to save money, that they quit printing the paper and that they just go online. And that kind of spurred me to think about what you just said, and that's that, yes, we can get it online, but can we really ingest it online? Will it really hit us? Because there was a great, you know, of course I'm addicted to print. There was a great article in the Santa Cruz Weekly the other day, or not the other day, but a few months ago, and it was titled Skim City, and it was about deep reading versus what we do on the internet, which is kind of skimming around, constantly changing pages, and it brought up really a lot of good points that, you know what, we're not really ingesting it. We think we are getting the news, but maybe we're not, you know, because deep reading is priceless.
The thing that I don't like about reading the news online is that I can't turn to the back pages of the internet as easily as I can the back pages of a newspaper. So, you know, that kind of thing I do. But
so Dennis loves print.
The reality is that even FM radio is suffering because of what's happening on the internet. People can subscribe to music services like Pandora, or, you know, they can load up their personal music player, and they don't have to tune into radio. They don't have to deal with commercials.
But
they don't have to listen to controversial subjects brought to them by people like free radio. They don't have to do that anymore. They can choose a different medium. And frankly, I think it's the big commercial broadcasters that are going to start feeling this the most, because we already know that jazz stations are gone, classical stations are gone. If you want music, you download it.
It's true.
I don't understand is,
when you talk about getting your news at Cruzeau, where's that news coming from? Presumably from some hardworking print journalist somewhere, and Cruzeau's picked it up, right?
Right, exactly. And,
yeah.
And that's the problem with the model.
Mike 3. That's the problem with the model, is that there is no way for someone who's getting their news on the internet to pay the people who are actually developing and getting that news. There's no model for that right now, and that's where media has to go. The media has to come up with a model for paying those people to go out and get the news that's not associated with a newspaper, because newspapers are going down, and going down fast.
Well, you guys have seen Warren Hellman's experiment that's going on up in San Francisco and around there. The guy who put together Hardly Strictly Bluegrass is funding a not-for-profit news organization connected to University of California at Berkeley and other journalists up there. So that's one model, kind of a true publicly funded by grant news organization, which I guess is how NPR and things like that started, right?
That's one way.
Yeah.
And then Pacifica, of course, is completely privately funded for the most part. The Pacifica News and Free Speech Radio News, those are all privately funded for the most part. And we present Free Speech Radio News every night at 5 o'clock on Free Radio. We also present a show called Informativo Pacifica, which is a news show out of Los Angeles in Spanish. We're one of the few radio stations around here that present news in Spanish.
That's an important thing, I mean, around here, because so much of the media is just English, and I mean, and it's all so corporate controlled, as we've been talking about. It's good to have at least, you know, one thing out there that's going to speak to people that maybe just, you know, have just moved here. And I know if I went to Spain, I would really appreciate there being an English channel show somewhere to give me the news.
Don't worry, Dan. If you go to Spain, there will be tons of Baywatch probably and X-File reruns for you to watch. So you'll be good. You'll be okay, buddy. Well, I wanted to ask Brad a question again.
I wanted to continue on by asking Brad where he thinks the funding for news gathering is going to come from as the newspapers plow themselves into the ground.
And that was my question.
I got a few possibilities. You know, you look at the models that have worked. One is iTunes, right? Who would have thought that you'd be paying 99 cents a song and that model would work and they'd become a billion seller, selling more songs than any other outlet. So that's one possibility. Maybe you pay a penny for each story, something like that you want to read. The other is grants, maybe government funded, as crazy as that sounds, as it is in England and in Europe, the BBC government funded. You worry about then the tie to the government, but if it were done in a way such that it was untouchable in the funding, untouchable by the politics, maybe that would be something that would work.
Sort of like the Al Jazeera funding model.
Yeah.
Where the government of Dubai is funding the right. Television radio network of Al Jazeera.
Right, right. But England funds the BBC, right? And presumably, I mean, everybody says the BBC is pretty good news.
I would have to agree.
Yeah, I usually don't get too much opinion pieces from the BBC. I mean, I can tell the difference between an opinion piece of theirs and something that they're going to call news.
Well, my problem with the BBC is I don't really want to hear news about Manchester United.
They love their football.
We're kind of coming short up on wrapping up on the end of the show here. And I guess I got one final question for you guys. And it's, is objectivity a mirage? Or does objectivity really exist? Is objectivity a real thing? Or is it something that we just strive for that's not really there? Can we ever get outside of what we think of the world and our opinions of it? And do the people on TV, can we ask the same of them if we can't ask the same of ourselves?
Yeah, coming to that point, I was reading and a thought came to mind about Sonia Sotomayor, the new Supreme Court justice that was just nominated and confirmed. She said it great. She said that, you know, every day she goes out and she affects people's lives with her decisions, just like journalists do, and that she has to sit there and weigh her perspectives and weigh her biases and her experiences each time to make sure that she's constantly checking them. And I think that's something that we just have to remember to do constantly. And
I can't remember who said it, but the line we had in our class was, if I can't be objective, which no one can, at least I can be fair. And I think if you use that as your model, you can present both sides of a story fairly.
Well, the objectivity has sort of two parts to it. The first part is, what stories are you going to cover? What kind of news do you want to bring to your audience? If it's car crashes, murders, rapes, bloodletting, if that's the kind of journalism that you want to bring to your audience, well, that's one form of objectivity. If you want to talk about poverty in America, racism in America, yes, it still exists. If you want to talk about refugees in the Sudan, if you want to talk about what global warming is going to do to the folks in Bangladesh and Florida, if you want to cover those stories, that's a different kind of objectivity. Once you get to the place where you do your story, then there's a different kind of objectivity that comes into play, and that's how your subjective view of how you're going to cover this story. I mean, who are you going to talk to? You know, what aspects are you going to come at the story from? All those kind of things affect that second kind of objectivity, which, you know, and a lot of American media doesn't even pass the laugh test on the first choice, is what stories do you cover?
Balloon Boy, I needed it bad. And I need more Octomom, too. I haven't gotten enough Octomom.
So, yeah, is it the media feeding us this, or is this what we're asking for?
I want Octomom.
Full circle right there.
Give me more Octomom.
If you wanted to hear the true story of Balloon Boy, you needed to tune in last Thursday evening to Free Radio at 11 o'clock when a program called The Hour of Slack was on, and they actually interviewed the neighbors of Balloon Boy and people who had worked with that guy. So anyway,
so maybe we'll never know the truth of Balloon Boy, but
there you go. Radio had it.
Yeah, and so if you want to go check it out, freakradio.org.
I'd like to thank our guests for coming on today, and like to thank our callers, even Richard. Thanks for calling in, Richard. We are the Cabrillo College Insider, and tune in next time Saturday 5 to 6. Thanks a lot,
and I promise to be a better producer.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.
KSCO 1080.